This podcast is brought to you by the film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn. Oh, he's hot. With an incredible ensemble that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, and Whoopi Goldberg. Ezra is a funny and endearing story about Max, a divorced father struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When faced with difficult decisions about the future, they embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Deadline calls Ezra a touching testament to the power of love. In theaters, May 31st. Probiotics can be an important part of your daily routine, and they certainly are a part of mine, but sometimes they are a hassle to take. Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are just what they sound like, adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. They're tiny, but still pack a punch, supporting both digestive and vaginal health. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/pearls and use code CHELSEA10 at checkout for 10% off any Pearls probiotics. Terms and conditions apply, valid through July 31st.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Chelsea. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm queer. Get used to it.
You are heading to Whistler very shortly, aren't you?
I am. I'm about to go on a road trip with the dogs, and I'm scared a little bit. But I'm also looking forward to it. I'm going to listen to a book on tape. I just have to figure out which book. Do you have any suggestions?
You know what? I do. So I just watched the movie of this. Leave the World Behind is a new movie that came out on Netflix. It's got like Julia Roberts and stuff, and it's about not post-apocalyptic, but like the apocalypse basically starting. There's some like race elements in it. It's very interesting.
What's it called?
Called Leave the World Behind.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this. Somebody else mentioned that.
Yes. I read the book a couple years ago and I loved it. It's really good. And I loved the movie too. So yeah, that's what I would recommend.
Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World Behind.
Okay.
Chelsea, you've got some new dates in
Australia. Yes, yes. We just announced dates in Australia and New Zealand. So I'm coming in July to Australia. So yes, get your dates there, chelseahandler.com. And I still have all my Canadian dates this winter. And more dates coming in the fall for America, North America, Chelsea Handler America, which is the lower 48, even though I'm half Canadian at this point.
I mean, your tour goes right on through the rest of next year. Right?
Yes. There's no end in sight as of now, so I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like it's a really good holiday gift because they can get themselves a ticket and their best friend a ticket or spouse or whatever, but then they also get to go see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a good holiday ticket, and this show is so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always fun, but this one is really stupid. You know, this one is so stupid because it's so not political because we're so all exhausted from politics and all that. So this one is really, there's nothing quite like getting to masturbate on stage.
In front of thousands of people.
To show people what I was up to when I was 9 years old.
Excellent. Should we welcome our guest?
Oh, yes. Today we have one of my childhood idols, Stephanie Amber Thiessen. Even though we were the same age, probably, I was obsessed with her growing up because I was always wanted to be a brunette, even though I was dyeing my hair. Yes, she's on today. So I ran into her the other night. I was like, oh, yeah, you should come on the podcast. She came to one of my shows. So let's say hello.
Okay, I'm here with Tiffany Thiessen. Didn't it used to? First of all, Tiffany, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi,
welcome. Hello. Welcome to the show. What happened to Amber? Where's she?
So it's still there legally, like on my driver's license. It says Tiffany Amber Smith now because I did take my husband's name, but it's just my middle name. It was hyphenated when I started this crazy business because I thought it was cool. I guess it was kind of It was popular back then to have a hyphenated name.
They call that in, you know, in the UK, they call that like a double barrel name when you have like, well, yeah. I mean, it's two last names, but they it's like a last name for your middle name.
Right.
So it sounds a little bit more
pretentious. But they hyphenated, wasn't legally hyphenated. It was never legally hyphenated.
You have to
but
get
they,
something legally hyphenated?
I don't know if they did, but I'm just on my like resume and on my all my headshots, they hyphenated it to make it Tiffany Amber. Which was weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some agent told me to do it, and I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Well, you know what a guy told me wants to do? He told me to put a bird on my fucking shoulder to do stand-up because he thought I wouldn't. This is what Jamie Masada from the Laugh Factory once told me, put a bird on your shoulder so you can separate yourself from the other girls. He goes, because you're too pretty. Uh-huh. I was like, and
so
he goes,
thought a bird on your shoulder would help?
He said it was distracting, that people wouldn't be able to pay attention to what I'm saying.
Because so he said a bird would help.
Yeah. And I was like, well, obviously, I'm never going to fucking do that. And I still tell him the story anytime I pop into the Laugh Factory, which is very seldom.
Is he still working there?
Yeah, he still owns it.
Wow.
He runs the place.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. What was it like for you when you started out in this business? Because that was before anybody had any rules about how to treat women.
That's true.
Right?
That is very true. I have to say, I think I was pretty lucky. I had moments... One specific one I do remember when I was shooting 90210, and which is nice. We actually can talk about this shit now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I know. Isn't that crazy? But yeah, no, I was actually pretty lucky to not have a lot of horrible stories. I've had a couple, but not for as long as I've been doing this business. You would think I would have a shit ton of them, but
well,
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't actually.
You know, it's funny when you hear how prevalent and you know, rampant
it is. No, I had an actor
is.
Totally grab me. In the middle of a scene, and he thought it was okay because he was in character. And I was like, fuck you. This has nothing to do with being in character.
He grabbed you in the Pikachu?
Oh, completely.
Oh, my.
Stopped production. I was pissed. I was mad. I was really mad. And I embarrassed the shit out of him in front of my home. Because it was my show. I was on 90210. It was my show. He was a guest star, like a reoccurring older gentleman. Piece of shit. Total piece of shit.
Mm.
And I stopped production and everything. We were shooting in Mexico, too.
Oh, good for you.
I'm sure someone will figure out who it was. I gave a lot of clues.
Yeah, yeah. How was it working with the girls on 90210? That was probably... Because my experience... I had more trouble with women in powerful positions, not because you guys were all kind of...
I think women... I have a teenage daughter. I think women are 10 times harder.
I know.
They're total little you-know-whats.
I know. That's
yes.
I mean,
I think because they're just so emotional and they get insecure. And
of course.
You know, like my husband always says, guys would just beat it out. They'd hit each other and you'd move on. Like girls are like manipulative. It's all mental, you know?
Right.
So I think it's sort of the same. Yeah, they were cruel. They were horrible.
Yeah.
I've been very open about it. I talked about it on Howard Stern. Like I'm very open about it. They all know it was terrible. They made me feel like shit.
Well, because you were a newcomer on the show.
I was a newcomer. I was coming on replacing Shannon Doherty on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Yeah.
So that must have been... They didn't get along before that, so...
They were having, I guess, issues with her in the beginning, and then I was coming on, but I was coming from another popular show. Who knows what the reason was? I mean... Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was bad at the beginning. And then, you know, I think they finally realized I was kind of a nice girl. I wasn't like mean or anything. So, and then they came around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw you recently. You were at my show at the Fantageous in LA. Thank you. It was such a nice surprise to see you there.
Yeah, it was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah. So tell me about your life now. Tell me about your marriage. Tell me about being a mother. I want to know. How
do you really want to know?
I do. I'm curious because I'm never going to do it.
Yeah,
so I'm always fascinated by it.
I have quite a few friends who are very adamant and very sure that they do not want to have kids. And I appreciate that because I appreciate people who know what they want for whatever reason, career, life choice, marriage, not marriage, kids or whatever. I appreciate people who know what they want. And I also appreciate we have a lot of people on this planet. Like for people who don't want to procreate, good for you. Thank you.
I know. Exactly.
I mean,
it's
really,
like a gift
truly,
for the
it
climate.
Is a gift, so
mean,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate
you,
it.
Tiffany, you're welcome.
Yeah. It's true, though. I wanted to have a couple. I had one of each. I was lucky. And then I'm done. You know,
uh-huh.
I'm done.
And
it's a lot of fucking work.
And what is the best part about it?
I think a little bit of the, like, when they do something good, you're like, oh, that's me, you know, like a little braggy. It's a little braggy at times, you know, in a good way, I guess. The unconditional love is quite nice, you know. You don't have to work at it as hard. Like, marriage is hard.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the unconditional part of having a child is a little easier Because it's a piece of you, maybe. I don't know. I don't know why.
You're not trying to cultivate a friend, a relationship with them. It's a very natural relationship.
Yeah, it's a natural thing. Yeah, it's a natural thing. As much as, you know, there's moments where I want to kill them.
Because I was reading this book, and it really got me thinking about, you know, how when you're a child, you're so consumed with being a child, right? Yeah. You're not considering your parents' existence, even. You're not considering your dad's or your mom's job or the stress that they may be under.
No.
And certainly not their history. You're not thinking like, oh, I wonder what my mom, what your child was like. I didn't wonder. Yeah. I was like, I'm here.
No, it wasn't until later.
I need attention.
It wasn't until later.
It's so funny because you know, you're a child and you think you're the most important thing in the universe, and your parents are the most important things in the universe as well. But you're not as interested in their like complexity or nuance, or story.
Then
you become a parent and the roles completely flip because all you care about is your child.
Yep.
But it's not all you care about.
But then you also have the other flip side. So now I have aging parents too, right? So I have taking care of my children because I started a little later. And then I have the taking care of my parents.
Mm.
So it's this really interesting sort of dual other side of taking care of people that you really care about.
Right.
The sandwich generation.
That's the thing. Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am right now. It's like both sides.
And are your parents still together?
They are. They're still together, still married. My dad's a lot older than my mom by 7 years. So we see the age difference now as they're getting older.
Oh,
my mom's
still
doing awesome. And my dad's, you know, definitely aging a little faster.
Right.
Yeah.
So speak to me about that aspect of things, like, because I find it curious and compelling. Like, I'm very interested in how do you shift from what your own needs are to what your child's needs are? Like, when do you know that that has to be a priority, you know, regardless of being like sick or in the hospital or an emergency situation?
Yeah.
How do you know how to balance what you want to do with your life?
I think it's an everyday thing. It's there is no rhyme or reason. I do believe now that my children are a little bit older, I feel like I can have a little more selfish moments, you know, and I've talked about this pretty openly. I'm going to be 50 and I'm like, you know, I feel pretty good where I've been able to kind of almost breathe a little bit more with my kids now that they're older, because they're not babies. They're not infants, where that is like 24/7.
Yeah. I mean, they can do nothing. They can't even sit up when they're born.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, so like I feel a little bit better, but now it's a different difficult, right? I have a teenager now, so I'm dealing with making sure like boys stay away from her, and she understands like you could ruin your life if you do anything like that, you know, right now at 13, and like trying to get her to understand how bad social media is and not have that right now.
Does she not have
it? No, she does not have it.
Oh, is she pissed about that?
Oh yeah, of course she is.
Yeah.
She's asked for so long the last like year and a half that I think she's tired of asking, so she's gotten a little bit better about it. And she'll just kind of come over and check mine out every now and then. But
I feel like this might be the moment in time where we all just, I know I'm not on social media nearly as much as I was before this whole thing has started in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I can't even look because it's so ugly and so nasty. That I had to set a timer. I had my girlfriend, because I'm technologically not equipped. I had my girlfriend set a time limit on my Instagram.
You can do it. I'll shut it down for you.
And but it gives you the option. Do you want to, your 45 minutes are up. Do you want to stay on? Or would you like to ignore this for an hour? Or do you want to ignore this for the day? And
you
I'm like, but I had that timer hasn't come up once in the last since this whole thing started.
So back in the day, we weren't meant to see all that kind of stuff. As much as I know we should be aware of what's happening in our world, but it's a lot for the psyche. A lot.
Yeah, it can really bring you
down.
And
I think for a 13-year-old girl, I was like, no way.
No.
Not happening.
Like, they're not dealing with enough. Like, I mean, I remember
dealing with shit at school.
I remember getting left out of stuff in, like, elementary school. Like, my girlfriends would all get together. And the reason I found out was because, like, one of the mean girls would say, we're all getting together without you.
Right.
And it would just, like, destroy me. Can you imagine if the evidence is just all in front of you?
That instant.
Yeah.
That instant. And then they all talk about it, and then they share photos and this whole Snapchat thing and, like, ugh.
And does your daughter have a pretty healthy attitude? Like, how would you describe her state of being with regard to social media?
I think she's pretty good, but she's also 13. She's in middle school, and middle school sucks. I mean, I don't know anybody who said middle school was the best years of their life. Wasn't mine, that's for sure.
No, I mean, certainly not high school. High school was brutal.
High school was more brutal for you. See, I think middle school was more brutal for me.
High school, I just checked out. I had an older boyfriend, and I was like, fuck this
shit. Me too. I had an older boyfriend, too. I was like, I don't need you.
I mean, it was illegal, for sure, what I was doing. But I mean,
I think I was, too.
Whatever.
But we don't talk about that, Chelsea, because I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she knows nothing about that.
That's right. And I don't know what the statute of limitations is on that, so we'll just keep everybody protected here. And you're into food, and you're into, like, I know you're into cooking because
of
your cookbook.
I love to cook. I love food.
She has a new cookbook out. What's the name of it?
Here We Go Again.
Okay, it's called Here We Go Again. I need a fucking cookbook because I have a brand new house with this gorgeous kitchen, and I don't know what I'm going to do in there.
I'll come over and I'll help you.
I would love that.
I'm also really good organizing, too, so I can help you put your kitchen away.
And also, you're, like, very into clean food, right? And, like, you recycle, like, well, not wasting.
Oh, you mean, yes, wasting. Yes, right. yes. I was going to say clean food. No, I'll have a good mayo sandwich with some some meat and bacon and all that. Yeah, no. I'm not Gwyneth Paltrow. I understand it, and I try to eat as clean as possible during the week, and then I have a little fun on the weekends. But, no, I love food. I love all types of food. But, no, I the book that I – this is my second cookbook. My first one was called Pull Up a Chair, and this one's called Here We Go Again. And I really wanted to do a book this time around about food waste because I believe it truly is one of the – biggest contributors to climate change. Now, granted, you know, corporations are really the biggest issue, right, we have right now, but it really can start at least a little bit at home. And so I've been trying to teach my kids about, recycling food in a way where I'm like, don't throw that out. We'll make them into, like, you know, enchiladas tomorrow or whatever. Like, that kind of thing started. And then it got me thinking, I was raised that way. I was raised in a house where, you know, my dad worked two jobs to allow my mom to stay home and raise kids. And we didn't have a ton of money. So my mom was kind of doing this as I grew up. And I was like, my mom's really like the queen of leftovers, really. Like, that was how I learned how to, like, upcycle food. So I was like, I've never seen a cookbook like that. So that's what I did during COVID. I was like, oh, this sounds like a good idea. Let's try this one.
I like upcycle food.
Upcycle.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. So anyways, and it's really trying to, like, you know, teach my kids to be better. Because the kids are the worst. I feel like the kids are the worst about wasting.
I know. It's like they need to have a class in school about climate change, like solely dedicated to that.
I feel like they're starting to. These kids are getting a little more. I think they're also, like, high in anxiety.
I know.
Like, really, like, having some anxiety issues, understanding, like, the issues that we're having in our world about climate change and all that. But I do believe. I think they are teaching. At least my kids' school, they're starting to teach it. So I don't know. We'll see. Let's hope.
So tell me about your husband. How did you guys hook up?
We are together 20 years, married 18, which in Hollywood is a fucking lifetime. We were set up on a blind date.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
And were you nervous to go on a blind date?
No, I had been on a couple before.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposedly a serial dater, too. So I think we were okay. Like, we were, but he was like a Texas boy. I didn't know anything about him. He had never seen any show that I had been on. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, had no clue.
Right.
You know, sort of had a clue, but, like, his college buddies knew who I was, but he wasn't really, like, I didn't watch any of those shows. So, and completely hit it off. Like, first date, 5 hours long, and here we are.
Oh, my God. Whoever set you up must
Isn't
be fucking celebrating. They must think they are the shit.
I mean, yes, I guess so. She probably feels that way. We don't talk anymore, but there were some issues with that, too. So
don't worry. I have plenty of those. I hear you. Loud and clear.
I think she wasn't happy in her life, so.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but you've been together for 20 years.
For 20 years.
And he's not in the business.
He is in the business. Oh. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. So he's an actor. He's kind of made a shift, and he's mostly now, he's an artist as well, a painter, graphic artist. And so now he's doing kids' books and graphic novels.
And does he do the artwork for the illustration or any artwork for your books?
No, actually he doesn't. I should make him do it. But
yeah,
no,
it seems like that would be a nice collab.
You would think so. We did one children's book together, but now he does them all on his own because— I mean, I don't draw.
And do you like being married?
I do like being married. I mean, you know, let's be honest. There's days where I'm like, I could do this by myself so much easier. You know? but no, it's nice having someone to help, right? To parent together, not to have to make all the decisions, even though I feel like I make a lot of them. but no, I'm being totally, I'm kidding.
But you're not.
But I mean, there's times. But I'm not.
I mean, it's a very typical female-male dynamic.
It is. I mean, I look at my parents and they're kind of the same way. His parents are still married, I'm very close to my in-laws. We come from very similar stock. So it was an easy relationship from the beginning. It really was.
Mm. That's nice.
Yeah. It's not. I know it's not always like that.
I know. I mean, you sound like you have a pretty cush life and everything is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm pretty fortunate. He's not, you know, he's like a pretty normal guy.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you seem pretty normal, too.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty normal.
You don't feel like you've got any major issues that are jumping out.
At least not now. Maybe later.
I'm going to, by the end of the episode, I'll do a full analysis.
Would you? Yeah, to let me know where I sit, please.
No problem. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by the new film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn and with an incredible ensemble cast that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, Rainn Wilson, and Vera Farmiga. Along with newcomer William A. Fitzgerald, the film is an endearing and often funny story about Max, a divorced father and stand-up comedian living with his father and struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When forced to confront difficult decisions about the future, Max and Ezra embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Ezra is an endearing and often funny exploration of a family determined to find their way through life's complexities with humor, compassion, and heart. An official selection of Deadline calls the film a touching testament to the power of love. IndieWire says it's funny and moving, and according to Next Best Picture, Ezra approaches autism with heart and authenticity. Only in theaters nationwide May 31st. Here's an important life tip. It is absolutely essential that you always know where to find a delicious sandwich at a moment's notice. Usually the answer is as easy as Jimmy John's. You know you're always getting some good sandwiches because they make them with fresh baked bread, premium quality meats, and hand-sliced veggies. Like their Italian nightclub made with salami, capicola, ham, and provolone. Everybody loves that one. So if you're looking for the sandwich of sandwiches, order on the Jimmy John's app or online at jimmyjohns.com today. We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Leesa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running, and collectively, their mattresses have over 20,000 five-star reviews. Delivery is free, returns are easy, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses, plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
And we're back.
We're back.
Sorry, I have never worn a hat while we're doing this podcast. I forgot to take it off.
Yeah, but it still works. You still see your
eyes.
It's
my Bruce Springsteen hat that he signed for me.
I didn't even see that. Yeah, that's so
And my friends are like, you have to put that in a collector's whatever, a glass. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm going to wear the shit out of this fucking hat. Are you kidding me? Bruce Springsteen? Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Tiffany, you might not have any major issues, but hopefully you can help some folks that have major issues.
Hey, I'm always up to discussing anything.
Yeah. So, confusingly, we have two Kylies today.
Oh.
So we
Is
will...
one of them Jenner?
Both of them are, actually.
Both of them.
Yes. It's one set of lips and then the other set of lips. Back to back.
Our first caller, Kylie, is calling in from Las Vegas. She says, "Dear Chelsea, one of my closest friends got married a few years ago, and I showed the fuck up in every way. Bridesmaids, bachelorette party, etc. When she had a baby a few years later, same thing. Basically, I've been there for every major life event for her, and of course I would be because I love her. So when I got engaged and was planning a wedding, obviously I invited her. Then she told me she was pregnant with her second child, due a few months before my wedding. Our wedding was in Italy, which is a humongous ask, and I kept reassuring her if she couldn't come, it's totally okay. Weeks before the wedding and well after the RSVP date, she finally said she couldn't make it, which is completely valid. The weekend before my wedding, however, I'm in bed with my then-fiancé, and he showed me his Instagram. Said friend was at another wedding in a different state. I then went to my Instagram, and she had blocked me so I wouldn't see. She explained she blocked me because she was, quote, protecting me and, quote, didn't want to hurt my feelings. I feel at a total loss here. My 20s are defined by this girl and the friendship we had, and never once have I had bad blood with her. But the fact that she can't even put pen to paper and write me a note or call me, I found so incredibly disappointing. I feel sick over this, but I also don't know if I can forgive her. This was all so messy and so unnecessary, and it kills me that someone I thought was a real one could act this way. Again, this has zero to do with her not physically being at my nuptials, but has everything to do with showing me the same love I've given her over the years. What should I do, Kylie?
Hi, Kylie.
You're cute.
All the callers are cute.
Are they?
They are. They're so cute.
Sort of the prerequisite.
Yeah. You have to be cute to call in.
She's super cute.
Hello.
This is Tiffany Thiessen, our special guest today.
Hi, Kylie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Great. We just heard your letter about your wedding. When is your wedding? Has it happened yet? No.
Yes, it was in September. You know, we both lived in the same area in New York City. We were like thick as thieves for years. She got married. I was everywhere for her bachelorette party, weddings, baby showers, the whole nine yards. And then
would you consider her your best friend? Was she your best friend?
Oh, for years.
For sure, yeah.
For years. And, you know, I moved to Las Vegas. I met my now husband when I came out here to party for a weekend. And now I live here. Oh. I married him.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. And I know, you know, she moved to Atlanta and I knew we were never going to be as close, but there was no reason for us to have a falling out.
Yeah.
We used to say that it was destiny that we met each other. And for her to act like this and just completely.
I can tell you're really hurt. Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like a child about it. I'm 33 years old and I feel like I like keep waking up in the middle of the night and then rereading our text messages. And I'm like, I did tell her 100 times if she couldn't make the wedding, it's fine. Like, it's totally cool. I don't care. I mean, I know you got another life. You got kids, you got babies. I get mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Do you think she felt guilty? Is that where you think this comes from? Is that she felt guilty about telling you or being honest?
I don't know. I really don't know. But what I'm struggling with now is moving forward. I just don't know how to move forward.
What was the state? Where did she go from what state to what state to the wedding?
Oh, the other wedding that she didn't tell you about.
She said it was close by. So she lives in Atlanta.
Because you said it was another state that she went to.
Yes.
Right. Because I was thinking like, oh, Italy, obviously too far or whatever. But this was an out of state wedding. So I'm like, not exactly the same thing. But like,
it depends. It could have been a drive. I mean, right?
True.
She could have driven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's just more probably what hurts you the most is the dishonesty, which right. That would bother me the most as well. Because I don't believe in dishonesty. I don't care how hard it is to swallow it or not. Especially if you're that close.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was your last exchange with her when you saw that she did go to this other wedding?
So I messaged her. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you completely blocked me on Instagram. My husband sees it and all my other friends who know her see it as well. And I go, I don't understand why I had to get this bad, this messy for no reason. And she kind of turned it around on me and was like, you know, this is who I am. And if you have a problem with that.
This is who I am? That I'm not honest?
Yeah. She's like, I don't know how many more times I can apologize. You know,
But did she apologize?
She kind of apologized.
But after the fact, because she wasn't honest.
She apologized when she didn't RSVP after months and months and months.
Got it. Okay.
And like only texted me. She sent me like an ungrown plant that was supposed to grow into an olive tree. I'm like, whatever. And then...
You should put that in your bathtub and see what happens. Ungrown plant. So annoying when people send shit like that.
I'm like, an ungrown plant? I'm like, what am I supposed to do with a twig whatever. So,
yeah.
And I was just, you know, I was getting excited for my wedding. I'm moving on. It's fine. It is what it is. And then, you know, I'm packing and I see that this is happening. She blocked me. I was like, I was ready to kind of move on. I was ready to just like put this in the past and then you block me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called her out for that, she kind of turned it around to me. She's like, this is my life. Like, this is how I am. You know, if you have a problem, then like have a great wedding and blah, blah, blah.
She got defensive. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the wrong move.
That's usually what happens.
Well, that's usually what happens when you know you're wrong.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Because it's like, if the need to be right is so fierce, you're wrong. Like, you don't, if you're really right, you don't put that kind of, you don't have to be defensive about anything.
You also don't need to lie. That's the thing. I've always said that. And here's the thing. I'm going to say this is going to be a really simple thing because I've had a couple of relationships and I had one that was best friend, long time relationship. We had an issue, had a falling out. And another friend of mine said, you know, not all relationships last. Mm-hmm. Sometimes relationships and friendships last for a period of time in your lifetime for that period of time that you need them. You may not need her anymore.
I know, but that like, you know, when your phone, you know, you wake up in the morning and your phone will show you pictures that you have on your reel and it will remind you of memories. I have so many pictures of her that it will just make a video montage of her face.
I know. So did I. I mean, I didn't have, this was a while ago, so I didn't have that phone that could do that back then. But I'm just saying, like, yes, I have those memories and they're great memories, but they're memories, right? And so you take that part of your section of your life that you had with her and appreciate what she brought to your life during that time. Apparently, she can't give that to you right now. Wish her well, thank her for what she gave you, and know that it'll open the door for somebody else, hopefully, to come in and give you what you need at that moment in the next chunk in your life.
I like that.
And another analogy, let's use a plant because you have one and I'm sure it hasn't grown yet. Like, think about a plant being watered every day, right? And think about the duration of a plant's life, like however long that a lifespan is for a plant. For 6 years, say, you got watered by one person. And then after that, someone else started watering you. You're still healthy because of it. You still have memories. You're still lively. You still have vibrancy because someone was watering you. It's just going to be a different person that's doing the watering from now on. I agree completely with what Tiffany said. Like, you can't hold on to anger. The biggest thing you can do is be like, okay, you know, if you want to write her one last thing, then that would be fine too, to be like, listen,
maybe that's what you need.
You know, for closure, like, it was really upsetting for you to respond like that. Blocking me on Instagram, it was childish. There's just really no other way around it than that. That was childish. I've never put pressure on you to come to my wedding. In fact, I gave you outs many, many times. So if you're mad at me, like, you should really question about who you're upset with and why, because it shouldn't be me. I haven't done anything except called you out when you blocked me on Instagram when you went to another wedding. Of course, you're allowed to go to weddings. You know, but make it short and sweet and loving and be like, you know, it's really sad that this feels like our relationship's over. And, you know, I just want to let you know, thanks for all the good memories. They pop up on my phone all the time and blah, blah, blah. I don't think you should try to, there's no reason in matching her level of anger, defensiveness, or like not being forthright. You know, I think you can kind of like, I think when someone demonstrates that behavior to you, it's an opportunity for you to demonstrate the opposite behavior. Because whether or not it heals now or she's open to hearing it now, it's just good to put that vibe out there in terms of your energy and the people that you're going to want to attract moving forward, that to keep your head high and be generous of spirit and be like, okay, I got it. You know, I just want to let you know, like, I'll think fondly of you.
Yeah. I think what struggled for me, because I did move far away from all the people that I've known and loved my whole life, and I just feel like I've just had to like slowly trim the fat off, because my time when I'm home is very precious. And I really want to spend time with people that really bring me joy. And I just feel like through the years since I've moved here, I've now lived here for 5 years, like each year, like someone kind of is trimmed off.
Yeah. And it's going to get trimmer and trimmer as you get older, I promise you. But that's kind of a good thing. Because honestly, your time is so precious. And as you get older, that it's okay. Like, because having 40 billion friends doesn't cut it. You're too fucking tired, first of all, as you get older.
I agree with that. I'm tired, but this one just felt like I had been realizing it. This one just sucks.
Yeah, no.
That's okay.
I've been through one of those too.
Me too.
Long-term girlfriend. And it was like our relationship was fracturing for like 3 years before we made a break. 3 years. I was like, oh, let me try and do this. Let me try and do this. Let me include her in this. Let me do it. And it just, every time I was reminded that we no longer had the friendship that we used to have.
But we have different paths. I mean, you have to remember, like, we really, as people, we're all so different. And sometimes when we come together, like you guys did, was an awesome time. You learned from each other, you supported each other, whatever you guys needed. But that doesn't mean you're going to continue doing that. So it sounds like you're at a place right now where that relationship is kind of run its course. And that's okay.
Yeah. I get it. It's just such a mourning for me because the other ones that I have, like I saw the ones that were running their course. I was like, you know what? Let's leave those in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like it's waking me up at night.
I had one that did the same thing. I did.
You need to really just send good vibes her way as a way to like release your holding on to it.
Agree.
Because you need to move into the idea of, you need to move into acceptance rather than resistance. Because, you know, right now you're resisting it. You're like, well, I can't believe you're still upset. You're grieving.
Because you're holding on to the hurt.
And it's okay to grieve, but you have to understand this is just not the time in your life that she's going to be in it, you know? And unless she comes to you and she just like does a whole 180 or 360 or whatever the fucking degree circle turn it is and comes and says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Then you would forgive her because you're being reasonable about all of this.
Yeah. But also don't expect it.
No.
Please don't expect
it. I know. And, you know, word on the street through, you know, my other friends is that she's apparently written me a letter. But apparently that letter was written like during my wedding weekend. But that's been, now it's November 13th. There's still no letter.
You may never see it. And that's okay too. That's okay too. You know what I mean? Truly. I know it's hard because I can tell. Like you've been through a lot of big moments with her. And I feel like you were waiting for her to do that for you. But that's part of friendships. So you wanna be able to share kind of similar things, right? And that's exactly how it happened. My best friend had gone, you know, she was actually her second marriage, but then, you know, had babies and all that, you know, and I was there for all of it. And I hadn't done any of that yet. You know what I mean? So by the time it came around for me, it just, she wasn't the person that needed to be there for me for that. And it was hard, but it's okay.
Do you have some other friends that you hang out with now?
Vegas. I live in Vegas. Different. It is a really tough place to meet people. You know, I moved here 5 years ago. We were long distance for almost 2 years. And my job at the time let me move out here. It was like, it was just a great, you know, situation. But yeah, I mean, in New York, I would just walk out my door and just meet.
That's a very different place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is Vegas going to be it? Like, is that where you guys are going to stay, you think, or no?
No. I mean, I told him I wouldn't marry him unless we were getting out of here.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3
that's
years.
That's a rough spot.
Yeah.
I don't think that's helping.
Quite frankly, I don't think it's helping either.
The backdrop of Vegas is not an uplifting, you know, spirited kind of place.
Yeah.
So
you don't seem like a Vegas girl either. And I don't know you well, but
you know, I found my weird little places here. You know, there is some great things about this place, but you just really gotta find them.
Yeah.
It's like such a dig. But I think that's also heightened why I feel so sensitive about this topic, is because I don't really have like a friend outlet as much here.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very smart to recognize that, because that's going to help you move on too.
Oh yeah. My poor husband, he's like, I don't want to hear about this anymore.
Do you have a therapist?
I do.
Well, that's the outlet for it. You know what I mean? Because at a certain point, you don't want to keep belaboring it either. Not to your husband. You're just putting out that energy when you're constantly talking about it. When you're in the thing with like the therapist, and obviously this is a good place to talk about it because that's why you called in. But when you're in under the umbrella of therapy with another professional, then that's the place to really get into it. I know that was really helpful for me when I was dealing with this girlfriend that I was talking about, because he was like, this doesn't sound like your friend. And I'm like, I know, but she wasn't like this before. I'm like, she's never been like this. And he's like, well, you know, you're changing, and that she probably doesn't like that. She's not on board with that. And that's exactly what was true. And it was a very, very hard pill to swallow. But you have to understand, like, everything does pass. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This too will pass. Like, everything just needs a little bit of time. And then it doesn't feel as acute as you're feeling right now. And you should really just start, like, just start a meditation practice where you are sending her. It's like called loving kindness meditation. Mm-hmm. And you send her, and then people, you know, you go down a whole list of people. We've talked about it on this podcast many times, but you can look it up, loving kindness meditation. And then there's a bunch of other ones just to get yourself like in a, like a higher vibrancy, so that that doesn't kind of take you down.
Yep.
Like a gift to yourself, you know, like, this is what I want to attract. I want to attract people I want to hang out with. I want to attract whatever your hobbies, or if you want to add hobbies or interesting books to read. Like, anytime you can take yourself out of yourself, you're reminded that it's one person in this massive universe of billions of people.
Yep.
And she's not going to define how you think about yourself or feel about yourself.
Yeah, you're right. I think also it's interesting now in the world that we live in that you kind of are able to hold on to things a little longer because of social media. Like back in the day, you were just like, okay, I'm done with this person. Yeah. Like, whatever. Goodbye. I don't need to see your face. So I'm friends with all her friends. She's friends with all my friends. You know, it's like, it's so intertwined the worlds and I'm not there. And it's just, I just see it and I just don't.
Yeah.
That's what makes it harder to let go. And I've been taking serious social media breaks because of this.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Because I'm like, I can't see it.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
I don't hate her, but I'm just so disappointed. And I think I need to start taking the step of it. Just, it hurts. I just feel hurt. And I hate that it stems from a wedding. It like, that makes me want to die.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. But just start giving yourself medicine in different ways, meditation, things that are just going to like lift your spirit a little bit more, because that's what it does, you know, meditating every single day, even for 5 minutes, it gives you a little boost. And then you're like, oh my God, why was I worried about that? And why was I worried about this? And yeah, I would stay off social media as much as you possibly can. You're not fucking missing anything.
No, you're not.
Exactly.
And you may find, like, as the sting sort of dissipates, you find yourself able to throw a heart on her posts or send her, like, good vibes and be like, oh, those are, like, her cute kids and they're whatever, Halloween costumes. I have a friend, a situation just like this where it's like, I still love her, but at the same time, like, she's not the person I prioritize when I'm visiting home because she showed me that's not where she's at with me. You know what I mean?
I don't heart mine, so just so you know, you don't have to. You know, you wish them well. I still wish them
well. But it's
well,
always good to just put good output out
yes,
there.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean?
I do.
It's good. It's good to be the bigger person.
I wrote my exit letter, but I wrote it knowing that I was not going to give it to her. And that helped me because I put it pen to, you know, like thought to pen, right? And I wrote it. And maybe that's what she did to you and she's not going to give it to you, but whatever. This is about you. So I did that and I folded it up and I just literally put it in my drawer and I never gave it to her. But it was helpful to just get all my thoughts out. Again, not giving it to my, at that time, fiance, now husband, because it was too much. I was just so upset. I was hurt. I was pissed. And it helped me move on a little bit.
And there is something about writing it down that, like, you get out of rumination mode because your brain is constantly trying to think of, like, the ideas and remember the things that you would say. But if you get it physically out of your body, that's really helpful. Yeah.
Well, that's what I originally did. I do that in my notes section. And then I was, like, in my car just marinating. I parked in my garage just, like, sitting there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to send this to Dear Chelsea. See? And then I just edited it for you guys. And I was like, okay. And then it's out in the world. I'm going to send it. And here we are.
Okay, Kylie. Well, do a loving kindness meditation. And I think maybe like in 30 days, will you check in with us and tell us where you're at with it?
Yeah, because you have to take some steps actively between now and then to start filling yourself back up and getting rid of the like kind of pain that you're holding on to. Because it's not good for you.
Yeah.
So that's you're going to do it in the effort like you're giving yourself medicine.
Okay. You got it.
Yeah.
And get back to us in 30 days and tell us how your mood is. Okay.
Okay. I will. Thank you guys so much.
And when you're feeling inclined to go on, you know, in moments of weakness to like look at the friend's Instagram or do that stuff, like scroll, I think you should really go try to read a book or take a walk, do something else so that you're just giving yourself a little bit more space away from it.
Especially if you're looking at it feeling a little weak, don't ever look at it when you're feeling like you're searching for that specific thing. Don't go on it.
And don't comment snarky things. No snark.
No.
No.
No snark.
You wouldn't do that. No.
All right, Kylie. Thank you for calling in.
It was nice talking with you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Bye, Kylie. Bye. Good luck.
Bye.
I mean, living in Vegas was the worst part about that story. I just can't.
Poor thing. She so doesn't look like someone that you would like. I mean, from New York to Vegas?
Oh,
that's crazy.
It's brutal. I had a boyfriend that lived in Vegas, and I was like,
really?
What are you doing with this house? Get rid of it immediately. Ugh. We didn't really live there, but he had a house there. And I'm like, no.
For what?
Who knows? Yeah. I'm like, Vegas is not for living.
Yeah.
It's for visiting.
Just to throw a loving kindness meditation in there for anybody who's listening, I found this one actually a couple weeks ago and I made a note of it because I knew it would come up again. May you be comfortable. May you be nourished. May you be appreciated. May you be loved. And you can think that about like maybe someone who you're really close with and then someone you're less close with and then this person you're having an issue with. So
Yeah.
That's a good one. I use that.
Right? Isn't that nice?
I like it.
Yeah, I used it for like 60 days after I don't remember. After I broke up with someone.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by the new film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn and with an incredible ensemble cast that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, Rainn Wilson, and Vera Farmiga. Along with newcomer William A. Fitzgerald, the film is an endearing and often funny story about Max, a divorced father and stand-up comedian living with his father and struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When forced to confront difficult decisions about the future, Max and Ezra embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Ezra is an endearing and often funny exploration of a family determined to find their way through life's complexities with humor, compassion, and heart. An official selection of Deadline calls the film a touching testament to the power of love. IndieWire says it's funny and moving, and according to Next Best Picture, Ezra approaches autism with heart and authenticity. Only in theaters nationwide May 31st. Here's an important life tip. It is absolutely essential that you always know where to find a delicious sandwich at a moment's notice. Usually the answer is as easy as Jimmy John's. You know you're always getting some good sandwiches because they make them with fresh baked bread, premium quality meats, and hand-sliced veggies. Like their Italian nightclub made with salami, capicola, ham, and provolone. Everybody loves that one. So if you're looking for the sandwich of sandwiches, order on the Jimmy John's app or online at jimmyjohns.com today. We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Leesa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running, and collectively, their mattresses have over 20,000 five-star reviews. Delivery is free, returns are easy, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses, plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Are you ready for Kylie number two?
Yeah.
Is she right. In Vegas too?
I was like, where's she from?
She's in Pacific Northwest. She's up north.
Okay.
So.
Ooh.
Kylie number two says, Dear Chelsea, the holidays are quickly approaching and I'm in a predicament. My mom passed away in January, and it was indeed one of the hardest moments we faced as a family. About 5 months after her passing, my dad let us know he was seeing someone. My parents had been married almost 30 years, so to hear of a partner so soon was gut-wrenching. Men. And then she did the eye roll emoji. Since then, he's asked me and my sisters if we'd be willing to meet with her. Both of my sisters are against it and totally refuse, and I simply told them I'm not ready. He was understanding, but you could see it crushed him. He mentions her from time to time and even asked if he could take my 3 and 1-year-old to see her. Again, my response is not yet. Now it's time for the holidays, and my grandma, my dad's mom, wants my dad and his girlfriend to host. My heart is broken to think that not only will I be grieving the first holidays without my mom, but I also won't be spending it with my family. I'm fortunate to have an amazing support system and my husband's family during this time, and maybe it will just be a pill I eventually have to swallow, but I'm just not ready yet, and I'm afraid I'll spend the holiday crying and make everyone feel uncomfortable. How do I handle this? Kylie.
Hi. Hi, Kylie. Hi. This is Tiffany Thiessen, our special guest today. She's here.
Hi.
I'm so sorry about your loss.
Thank you so much.
When did your mom die?
January of this year.
And you cared for her for a little while before she passed, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she came and lived with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. So I think it's completely reasonable. And you said it in your letter, like, it's too soon for you to have, not yet is a very gracious way to say, I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet, you know, or I know I have to get here, but I'm not there yet. And it's totally reasonable for you to tell your father what it is. Like, I know this is, you know, disappointing to you, but I have to honor my feelings and I'm not ready. I'm not ready to meet your new girlfriend. I'm not done mourning my mother. Yeah. And it's hard for me to even think of you with someone else. So I really need you to respect my wishes during this time. I love you. I understand that you don't want to be alone and that you found someone, but that's not part of what I'm ready for, to deal with yet. It's not like it's been 5 years. It's been not even a full year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's totally fine. And you can put, I would put that in a letter.
I love that idea. I'm not very good verbally talking about it with him. So a letter sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah. And you can CC your other sisters and make sure everyone has eyes on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And your sisters feel the same way?
My sisters are more passionate about never meeting a person.
Oh, okay. Are they younger? Are they younger than you?
I'm the middle.
The middle. I was the middle. Yes. Okay.
Is there any particular reason that they don't want to meet her ever? Like, is it someone that you guys knew already or?
Just relationship-wise, there, our whole lives, it's been rocky with our parents, but I think I chose to forgive and they're still in their healing process.
Okay. So there's some backstory then, I feel like. So your parents' relationship was rocky or your relationship with your parents was rocky?
Both.
All of it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I feel like I want him to be happy and us not meeting him is stopping that happiness, or meeting her, I should say, is kind of stopping that happiness, but
no, it's not stopping his happiness. Yeah. He's probably happy when he's with her, but he's just not getting a full, he's not getting everything he wants. Right. That doesn't
and
mean
that's
he's
okay
not happy.
Too. Not everybody gets that. You know,
can you elaborate a little bit on the rockiness? Like, what was the dynamic that made it rocky? Their relationship?
Yeah, their relationship for sure. I mean, they loved each other so much, but one, two, I don't want to like say narcissists, but very self-absorbed people create humans. It causes a lot of disruption.
Yeah. Yeah. You might want to leave that part out of the letter, but I get it. I get it. I'm like, which is, but what's better, one narcissist as a parent or two?
I don't know.
Two don't seem to cancel each other out. So it's like, shit. No, I think you can write it in your very sweet way that you are. You can tell that I can tell the how sweet you are and just be honest. And that's it. You don't owe him anything. And
I think it sounds like you have too already. Like you've had a little bit of this conversation with him, right?
Yeah. I kind of shut it down though because I'm very emotional when I speak really on things. And I just didn't want that to come across.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so a letter's perfect. So write a letter and just say it all. And you don't have to CC your sisters or do whatever you think is right.
Well, because this is about you. They can handle themselves. And this is really your relationship with your dad and what you feel right now, not about them.
Now, does the girlfriend have like adult kids or anything or family nearby?
She unfortunately has lost both of her kids.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yeah, at young ages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they've died?
Yeah.
That's a lot of loss.
A lot of trauma bonding, I feel, in that relationship.
And you know what? That's very common, actually. It's very common in a lot of relationships. So
men are just so disappointing. It's like, can't you be alone for a year?
No,
like,
they
honestly.
Can't. They really
it's
can't.
It's just so pathetic.
No, they can't.
I'm sorry. And I'm so glad you have somewhere else wonderful to go for the holidays with your husband or your boyfriend and his family. That's awesome. Like, thankfully, you have something. You have that, you know?
Yeah, you have kids, don't you? You said you had kids?
Yes. So just trying to keep it special for them, I guess.
Absolutely. Put all your energy into those. I'm telling you, that's where you put your energy, babe.
One thing you could do sort of to honor her would be, you know, if there was a special tradition that she loved to do or a special dish she loved to make, you could make that and bring it to your husband's holiday party. And I think
if that doesn't feel right, another option is to just do something that feels completely unlike anything you've done before. For example, a friend of mine, after her divorce for Mother's Day, you know, instead of doing the thing at home with the gifts and the breakfast and all of that, she took her kids to Six Flags and, you know, they just ride roller coasters together and like have a great time and eat churros. So, I think there are a couple ways you can honor your mom and make sure you carve out a special moment for her.
Do you normally go to your parents' house?
To my grandparents, but my grandma's really pushing my dad doing it with his new partner, so.
Yeah.
Do your grandparents understand where you're coming from?
No. Old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't know how you could say anything like that and have anybody like keep going with an argument. I would be like, yeah. I got it. You got it.
Yeah,
no,
you're coming from such an honest place. You can hear it and see it in your face. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I think if you're just honest with him, this hurts too much at this point, but I love you, all the good things, and give your kids and your husband an extra squeeze too.
We'll look at next year, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's always next year, Dad, maybe.
Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies, so much. It was so great to talk.
Nice to meet you, Kylie.
Lots of love, sweetheart. Lots of love.
Thank you.
Bye. I remember when my mom passed away, my father, I wrote this story in one of my books. My brother Roy was at my dad's house. He walked in and his housekeeper was in the kitchen naked, cleaning with no pants or top on. And my father was on the couch watching in his boxer shorts. This was a week after my mother's funeral. And Roy sent our whole brother and sister thread a text being like, I have an update for everybody who's wondering what dad's been up to. This is it.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Men are funny.
Something is wrong with everyone.
Men are funny. I have a very good friend who found out his dad has been spending their life savings going to those massage places every day.
Oh, my.
Racking up major bills when his wife was at home.
How many massages can you get in one day?
Well, I think he was doing like four a day.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that
was
legal.
And he was not a spring chicken.
That's your retirement fund.
But like all the money gone.
Yeah, because at a certain age, men probably can't perform, right? So they'd rather just watch a woman. I don't even want to think about what's going on there.
Me neither.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and wrap it up with Tiffany Thiessen.
This podcast is brought to you by the new film Ezra from Bleecker Street. Directed by Tony Goldwyn and with an incredible ensemble cast that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, Rainn Wilson, and Vera Farmiga. Along with newcomer William A. Fitzgerald, the film is an endearing and often funny story about Max, a divorced father and stand-up comedian living with his father and struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When forced to confront difficult decisions about the future, Max and Ezra embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Ezra is an endearing and often funny exploration of a family determined to find their way through life's complexities with humor, compassion, and heart. An official selection of Deadline calls the film a touching testament to the power of love. IndieWire says it's funny and moving, and according to Next Best Picture, Ezra approaches autism with heart and authenticity. Only in theaters nationwide May 31st. Here's an important life tip. It is absolutely essential that you always know where to find a delicious sandwich at a moment's notice. Usually the answer is as easy as Jimmy John's. You know you're always getting some good sandwiches because they make them with fresh baked bread, premium quality meats, and hand-sliced veggies. Like their Italian nightclub made with salami, capicola, ham, and provolone. Everybody loves that one. So if you're looking for the sandwich of sandwiches, order on the Jimmy John's app or online at jimmyjohns.com today. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Lisa and home design icon West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of the two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
And we're back. We're back, Catherine.
We are back. Well, our last caller today, or all callers today, is Rob. He's finally not a Kylie, and he is in New York City. And he's got a bit of a career transition question, so I thought both of you would be great to help answer that. Dear Chelsea, first off, I have to tell you how much I love and appreciate the podcast. I listen to every single episode and feel like I learn a little bit more about myself with each story that's shared. Recently, I've been feeling super trapped in life and in my career choice. I'm a hairstylist and have just never been super passionate about it. I thought it would be a super easy job and the money would just roll in, but it's fucking hard and people are exhausting. I have been brainstorming for years on what to do with my life, and I haven't really figured out what would make me happy. I even tried college 3 times and have no degree to show for it. As a child, I dreamed of being a writer, but never had the confidence to just go for it. I never thought that people would want to hear what I have to say, and I've felt for a long time that most of my clients come to me to hear stories about my hot mess of a dating life. I also feel like I have a pretty wild imagination, so why not write a book about my shenanigans? I find that sometimes I'm super confident in this becoming a great book that will give people a laugh, and then I go to a negative place and think my writing is shit and no one will care, that I'm not smart enough to write. Any advice on how to get past this? I dream that one day I'll be done and I'll be a guest on your show and not just asking for advice. Just trying to manifest here. Rob. And he's going to join.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Rob.
Good. Oh, my God. It's Tiffany Thiessen.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a thought a little bit about thinking of it as like I have to write a book or I have to like have a compendium of all my experiences. And I wonder if there is like a smaller piece that you can break this down into, whether it's like I'm going to write an essay about this funny thing that happened or like I'm going to do a TikTok. Like, I don't know, funny dating stories, like that feels TikTok to me. And like doing something that feels a little more manageable and a little bit easier and or a blog, sure. Like soon enough, you'll have several things that like maybe could become a book.
Have you actually started writing at all? Because it sounded like you started. Oh, okay.
Yes, I've started writing. I had about like a good 100 pages going on.
Oh, wow.
I've been on the go.
Well, that's good.
I just get too much in my head sometimes. Yeah. And then I don't even know who could read this for me to give me a little bit more advice. Or if I wanted to publish it someday, how would I even go about that?
But why would he, in my opinion, why think of that right now?
Exactly. I know. I'm like thinking like way
so too far, right? Like, I think what she was kind of saying, Catherine is saying, like, maybe take it smaller, take it a little bit smaller instead of looking at like, who knows how far in the future, take it where you are right now and say, let's finish this chapter or this many pages or whatever, you know, sometimes biting off something you can chew a little bit easier than like a huge meal or a huge banquet is a lot easier.
I try to give myself like, I say, oh, I'm going to get up in the morning and maybe I'll sit for like a half hour or an hour. And then if I go past that, great. And if I don't, it's okay. We could put it down for a little bit and just step away.
You should pick up this book called Daily Rituals. It's about all these artists and philosophers and like painters and writers, basically like what their work ethic is and like what their hours of productivity are. And you'll see a very common theme, which is like, you know, first thing in the morning. I know this is true for myself when I write, and I'm writing a book right now too, and it's completely overwhelming, and I know where it's going and I know when it's going to be published, and everything that you're talking about, it, you know, is still applicable to anyone who even has a plan. So like you do have to take it one day at a time. But what's cool about this book is it says like the early morning hours are your most, where you're the most clear of mind and you have the most hours of productivity. And then a lot of people take breaks in the afternoon and then they'll do something physical or many of them just start drinking and then then they come back for like an afternoon session and do that. But I know for me, like I write an hour, 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours if I'm really, really feeling it in the morning. And you know, you're coming back and you're editing and you're losing stuff and you're adding stuff all the time. That is the process of writing. So it's not important that what you write is perfect. It's like, okay, sometimes I take fragments of a sentence and put it so in a completely different chapter because I'm like, wait, this applies to that. And so it's constantly reorganizing, constantly editing, and you have to get into that rhythm where you're just doing it all the time. Like you have to give yourself 1 hour every morning. Let's make it 1 hour, not a half hour, 1 hour every morning. And if you go beyond that, great. But then you're on like, you know, then you start to feel like you have a pattern and you have kind of almost a system in place. So because that will breed more and more creativity. And the more you write, the more you write. You know what I mean? The more you sit down and say, exactly, I have to write, the more you're just going to start writing. And some of it may be crap and some of it you may throw out the window, but there's going to be slivers of greatness in there. Like we all have important things to say and you don't have to worry about anyone seeing it until you're at a place where you think this is ready to show another person. Yep. And it's usually not when you think it is. I know from experience, I send in chapters way too early then, and I'm like, wait, I'm not even done with those. I'm just trying to show them I'm doing something. So the longer you can have without anyone looking at it, the better off it's going to be anyway.
Yeah, I figured I shouldn't always be looking for other people's feedback to validate myself.
Yeah, so take the pressure off and also just write a list of the way you want to be every day. Like, say, every day I write from, 9 to 10 or whatever your hour is. After that, you don't have to make a whole list of things, but like however you're going to fit your writing in throughout the day. You know, I'm always writing notes in my notes section and then I go through that and I implement them into the chapters and stuff. But don't start worrying about shit that doesn't apply to your situation. It's just a waste of your energy and a waste of your time.
And that energy can be put into your writing.
And every time you, time you do start worrying about it, go back to writing. Anytime you're like, who am I going to show this to? How am I going to get this sold? Just go back to writing. Go and be like, oh, I have to go right now for 40 minutes for letting those thoughts, control me.
It's a punishment.
It's a good way to just like get back in the game. And the more productive you are, the better and more confident you're going to feel about it as time goes on. Yeah. So just consistency is key with anything like this.
Yeah,
I just have to be more disciplined without beating myself up about it. Yeah.
Then use this call as your wake-up call to become more disciplined.
Yeah, I will.
Just put a piece of paper next to your desk, next to your computer that says, Chelsea and Tiffany say these and then the following things. Every morning I write for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Put your phone down, put the alarm on so you know when an hour's up and you are not allowed to look at your phone.
Yeah, no looking at phone.
Up.
Absolutely, yeah. The worst distraction you can do.
Yeah, I'll like leave my phone in my bedroom or something. I'll like throw it to the side. I live alone, so it's a lot easier to have quiet time.
Yeah,
For sure.
Yeah, and then give yourself a reward. You can go masturbate or go take a walk, whatever you're into. I always masturbate after I write.
That's not a bad idea, actually. But I recently felt like I was abusing smoking a little too much, so I've given it up. It's probably been about 3 weeks now, and I definitely feel like I'm thinking clearer.
Good for you. Don't fucking smoke. I am terrible. Every couple months, I'm like, I could have a cigarette, and then I'm like, no, I can't. Why can I have a
cigarette? Not cigarettes.
Oh, smoking weed. Oh, yeah, no, that'll fuck your mind up, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't write when I'm smoking weed. Only when I'm polishing. Then I can go, when something's almost done, then I go back and
you use it as a polisher?
Yeah, I use it as like, put in some more humor.
Thank you so much.
And then when it does get published, I would like to have a little bit of a, little blurb, a little something.
Acknowledgements.
Just a tiny little one, okay?
Or our names can be in the title. You decide.
I'm okay with that.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so anybody, you can pick up Tiffany's new cookbook. She, don't forget, she's the host of MTV's Deliciousness. And you can pick up her newest cookbook, which is called Here We Go Again, Recipes and Inspiration to Level Up Your Leftovers.
Leftovers.
And her previous cookbook is called Pull Up a Chair. So you can get both.
You can get both. Yeah. Holiday gifts.
Yeah, yes. I know. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you. So nice to
see
you.
So fun. Nice to see you too, babe.
Thank you.
Chelsea, do you have some new dates for us?
Oh, you know I do. You know I do. I have a lot of, we added lots of Canadian cities. Canadians, I'm coming. We added about 15 new tour dates. I'm coming to Denver again, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Richmond, Virginia, Santa Rosa, California, Gary, Indiana, Baltimore, Verona, New York, and about 7 dates in Canada. So go to chelseahandler.com. I am performing everywhere. I will be on tour all for the rest of the year through December. And then next year, I'm going to be touring all year. So come and get it, you guys. It's good times, and it's a very much needed reprieve from all the fucking madness that's going on in this world. So I'm here to bring joy and sunshine.
If you'd like advice from Chelsea, shoot us an email at dearchelseapodcast@gmail.com and be sure to include your phone number. Dear Chelsea is edited and engineered by Brad Dickert, executive producer Catherine Law. And be sure to check out our merch at chelseahandler.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Here's an important life tip. It is absolutely essential that you always know where to find a delicious sandwich at a moment's notice. Usually the answer is as easy as Jimmy John's. You know you're always getting some good sandwiches because they make them with fresh baked bread, premium quality meats, and hand-sliced veggies. Like their Italian nightclub made with salami, capicola, ham, and provolone. Everybody loves that one. So if you're looking for the sandwich of sandwiches, order on the Jimmy John's app or online at jimmyjohns.com today. We all know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. I know that if I don't sleep for 8 hours a night, I am not as sharp. From memory foam mattresses that hug in all the right places to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support at every price point. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Chelsea for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. LEESA.com/Chelsea. Hi, everyone. Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started.